You're listening to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays with Shibuti and George.
What's good, everyone? Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on a Sunday.
What's up, everybody?
Not much. How'd you like this episode?
It was good. It was good. We got, what's his name? Sean joined the chat. So everybody joined, right? So we've met everybody. Sean and Aaliyah joined the chat. It was a good episode.
You mean Burger King guy?
Yes, the Burger King guy. He joined the show, and you know, I don't know why I'm like really extra invested in that story for some reason. Because also, did you notice tonight, for the, I don't want to say the first time, but they rarely do this, they showed what happened right before they were going to get married, and then they did a 3 months earlier. Did you catch that? That was really dramatic. So I was like, oh, there must be something up with this story, because they don't typically show us the end and then we go back. That's like what a lot of Netflix movies do. They show you the person getting like unalived right in the beginning of the movie, and then they show you how we got there. So yeah. I was a little taken by that.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. But we are, I just hate the whole, like, when they build up the drama of, like, oh, I have my visa interview, but we already know she's, like, here in the country.
Well, yeah, we know that she's here. We know that they're married. We saw when she got off the plane. So, yeah, there's a lot of irrelevance. You know, they did it with Sarper and Shekinah, too, with his visa interview. And they're like, oh, what happened? Like, it's a cliffhanger when we know that he's teaching really stupid classes at a gym in L.A. right now. So it's a little annoying, you know, that they think that we don't have the internet. It's kind of annoying.
Mm. I guess that's for like the non-hardcore super fans, I guess, that don't live and breathe it.
Well, yeah, there are people that when the show goes off on Sunday night, they don't talk about it or think about it until the next Sunday. So, you know, there are people who might be watching the show and don't know that Aaliyah's here or don't know that Sarper's here. You know, it's very possible. But for people who've been watching the show since it premiered 11 years ago, like, we're going to know what's going on.
Yeah, well, we're the one percenters of, like, fandom, I guess.
Yeah, we take it to a whole nother level. It becomes like a lifestyle choice at this point, right? Like, it's like, you know, when you go to the gym and they're like, you're going to have to change your lifestyle and how you eat. No, like, that's kind of how we've adapted to 90 Day. We've made it a lifestyle adjustment.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to be like Tea Master Generals, is to like live and breathe it.
Well, yeah, you can't watch a show once a week and then expect to know anything if you only watch it once a week. You got to put in a little more time than that.
True. Yeah, I will say, like, this episode inspired more tweets out of me than normal.
Oh, yeah. I remember you said last week that you weren't able to produce a lot of tweets out of that episode. I do remember that. So that means that this episode was a little more entertaining and meme worthy than last week.
Yeah, like, last week's episode just felt like a slog to get through it, but this one, like, it had a good pacing, and it made me, inspired me to post some tweets, so it was actually better, probably the best episode of the season.
Yeah, it's just, I was saying earlier how this is such a slow starting season, like, we haven't really picked up, like, we're still on the runway. You know, when your plane gets on the runway, you start to drive, we haven't lifted off yet. We're still on the runway. We're getting speed, but we haven't become airborne. So, yeah, this season is definitely slower than I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. But tonight's episode with Greg's mom, Lucille, like, I feel like Lucille is going to become, like you said, the Hall of Fame of shitty moms. She is definitely securing her spot on Mount Rushmore of shitty 90-day moms. Because not only, you know, has she raised a 37-year-old man child who literally lays around and eats all day, she's mowing the lawn for him, and then Joan has been in the house for 11 seconds, and now she's yelling at her because she uses too much water. And I was like, so you're a 37-year-old who literally eats you out of a house and home. He's fine. He doesn't got to do nothing, but she needs to cut back on the water. She literally was like, I'm going to set a timer. For the amount of water that you're using. And I was like, so out of all the expenses that you've been paying for your man child for his whole life, right? He's never done anything his whole life. His whole life, you're going to draw the line at the amount of water that she uses. So let's say, for instance, she uses 100 gallons of water more than they were using already. So that $1.22 is the land in the line in the sand that's gonna just make this whole house crumble, because she can't deal with the fact that this woman is showering in her house.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so for like the last 30 seconds, I've been scrolling to try to find this one tweet, and I found it finally. So yeah, let me just read this tweet. This is from @90DayCray. Their tweet says, it's a picture of the mom, Greg's mom, and it says, actually, I could feature it in the chat, but it says, a woman who enables her son such that he can't function on his own is not dotting out of love or doing it out of love. She wants control. It's the ultimate way to make someone dependent on you forever.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. So, you know the Gypsy Rose story, right? Where you make it to where the person thinks that they can't do anything without you. I think that Greg's mom is like a lighter, milder version of Gypsy Rose's mom. I think that she has raised him and shaped him to believe he can't do anything. He's scared to accept jobs. He's scared to do it. He won't work outside the house. Everything is something that he's incapable of. And I think she, like they're right. She's made him to believe you can't do anything. The only thing you can do is live here in my house. And I actually believe that.
Yeah, it's probably because it's kind of like, you know how some people don't like the empty nest syndrome or whatever. So then they got to have their man child baby at home forever.
Well, I was thinking that, and then they never really focused on what happened to his dad. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe it's one of those situations where the dad either, one, died unexpectedly. Like, you know, like this happens, and I've heard lots of stories where a dad is working, everything is fine, then he literally just has a heart attack and dies out of nowhere. Or it could have been one of those where he found a new family and abandoned them. But whatever the situation is, she's latched on to Greg. And it's not so much that she wants, you know, someone to take care of her. It's more so she doesn't want him to ever leave because she doesn't demand rent. She doesn't demand anything from him. She just needs him there. And I caught on to it on the first episode when it kind of seemed like she was jealous of Joan before she even got there. Because she's like, well, I just hope he doesn't forget about me. And I'm like, you should be happy that your 37-year-old has an interest outside of you. You know, like that should be like a blessing. And she was like, I just hope he doesn't give all of his time to her. And I was like, see, now I think that this is more, you know, of a different type of situation. Cause I know a lot of parents will be really happy if their underachieving child finds someone to marry or finds a job or does something positive and moving in the directions of independence. They were rejoiced. Like that would be a party.
Yeah, I mean, also the whole story, I hope it's not storyline, and I hope it really happened that way, but the whole, he got the state job and he turned it down, assuming that's not like a storyline, the fact that he did turn it down, to me, that just like shows he basically doesn't have good like guidance from a parental figure in terms of like life.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be a storyline because I don't know him well enough to know if the state would want to employ him, because based on what I've seen, he's not someone that I want to employ. It doesn't seem like he has any work ethic. But again, I don't know if he actually got offered like just a job in general, and then they tried to make it sound better by saying it was a state job that has a pension, because that would make for a better storyline. He could have just been offered a job at a bakery or something.
Yeah, or it could have been like a temp job or something, and then they turned that into a state career.
Yeah, but the idea that he turned down any job when you're bringing a woman over here, living in your mom's house, you don't have any money, you don't like his work ethic and his motivation and life goal, his priorities are just completely screwed up, right? And I was talking about this on my other podcast. I was like, if I did the stuff that he's doing, my mom would literally make my life a living hell until I started doing better. You know, like, so I hate to come after parents, but you know, how you treat your children and then the way that you react to their bad decisions, it does shape a bad human being. Because if I was living in my mom's house, I got offered a job, I wasn't paying rent, she was mowing the lawn while I laid my fat ass around. Like she found out that I turned down a job, she would literally take all of my stuff and throw it out the house and tell me to get the hell out. But the fact that she's just like, oh, okay, what's for dinner? Like she's literally creating this monster. She knows that he should be out working. She knows that he should be doing things, but she's also not mad that he's not.
Yeah, but it seems like Joan isn't going to put up with it for too long, supposedly.
I think Joan is over here because she's a super educated woman from Uganda who wants better in life, and I think that she needed to be here to do that. So I think as soon as she gets her paperwork and everything, she's out.
Like, yeah, as soon as she gets her paperwork and he starts doing the same bullshit, she'll be out the door. Yeah.
She'll leave and she'll get a job. She'll take care of herself. She doesn't have a lazy work ethic. I think that she's over here to work and do whatever needs to take for her success. And I don't think that she's the type of woman that is going to bring a loser along for the ride. Right. Like if he wants to get a job and contribute to her success, I think they might work out. But I think if he is the person that we see now, she's going to leave him quick and she's not even going to look back.
True. All right, let me pull up my, because a lot of times when we do this Sunday show, I like to look at my tweets to remind myself on what to talk about. So let me just look at them again. Let's see. Yeah, well, if Coco was here, I would ask her about the old man bed that, like, I think that means those beds that, like, you hit the button and it, like, moves up, right?
Yeah, the adjustable bed. So it moves so you can, like, sit up. You're laying down, but you're sitting up. So you can, like, watch TV. You could be on your computer. You could be writing. Yeah, those are the adjustable beds. So I'm assuming Coco has been in her share of adjustable beds, right? Because I'm pretty sure once you get over a certain age, you can't even get out of the bed without one of those. I'm assuming. I don't know that.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her how many romps she's had in an adjustable bed.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering if that's like, you get to a girl's house and she has like a bunch of like whips. Like, I wonder if for Coco, when she sees an adjustable bed, if she sees that as, like, a really fun prop, right? Like, does she get, like, excited? She's like, oh, my God, there's an adjustable bed in there. Like, I wonder if that's, like, a huge deal for her.
True. We'll find out sooner enough. You want to talk about the thruple?
Yeah, we can talk about the thruple. So, the one thing that stood out for me was when they got to Tijuana and they get to the place to meet her. And she's walking up, and they're like, that's not her. And I was like, see, this is where you lost me, because you're in love with this chick, you're both dating her, you're ready to divorce each other, to bring her to your house, move her in with your kids, and you don't even know what she looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I don't know why this storyline is, like, falling through the cracks for me, but, like, so many red flags are giving me a fake storyline with this thruple. Like, everything is just, it's missing the mark. Everything that I need for a real story, it's missing the mark for me. And I'm beginning to think that that meeting that Matt had with Liz, like, when he first met her and talking about he wanted to come on the show, I think that they created an outrageous storyline so they could be featured on the show. And I don't think any of this shit's real. I think that that stripper is a hooker from Tijuana. And
I think that, allegedly,
and they told her that they were going to be on TV. Did you want to participate? And she was like, okay. And I think that's how we ended up here. I don't think any of this shit is real.
Yeah, like, but I think, I don't know if it's part of the preview for the later episodes, but wasn't there a thing in the preview where, so I guess they're all lying in bed and Imani or whatever was asleep or whatever. And then Matt, like, fucked Annie while Imani wasn't really awake or there or something, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then there was a fight that ensued where she essentially, Imani called Annie a whore or a whore. Yeah, a hoe or something along the lines of that, which, you know, I mean.
But I feel like that argument also lends to your theory or your feelings of it's just kind of like a bullshit thing for the show. Because, right? Because, like, if it's just like, let's say you allegedly met a hooker or whatever or escort, and then you turn it into like a thruple storyline, then if your man fucks her while you're not there, you'd be upset. But if it really is like a true passionate love romance, then you don't give a fuck if your man's fucking her whenever you're not there.
Well, right. Like, that's what a thruple means.
Exactly.
Like, it's all of you participate or some of you participate. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So the idea that she would get upset that they were being intimate shows that it's fake.
Exactly.
Well, right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all the, like, there's so much going on. And then I think you're the one that texted me that the house that they were using on the show is available for rent. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the house that they're passing off as their own, you can rent it for the night. So everything is just coming across as not real. And, you know, it irritates me because I was saying this earlier. I was like, couples like this, Matt and Imani, are probably the reason why 90 Day Fiancé is going to eventually get canceled, because these people are sucking the life and authenticity out of a really good franchise. They're using the show for fake clout and fame, and they're using it for their advantage. This show actually had roots of authenticity and real stories. And people like this, Tiger Lily, Matt and Imani, Star Pusha Kinda, they're destroying the franchise from the inside. It's like they're a cancer. They're coming into the inside of the franchise and they're killing every ounce of authenticity the show ever had.
Yeah, I think it's probably like a situation where the casting director is under a lot of pressure, where they're like, all right, I got to cast like some kind of gimmicky thing to, you know, make it splashy and good for marketing. So then that's how we end up with the throuple, because that's what happens.
I think it's interesting because we all got hooked on the show in the beginning when it was literally completely normal people. They weren't models. They weren't influencers. They hadn't done other TV shows. They were literally Joe Schmoes that had no interest in even being on TV. That's why we really started watching it. And then that's what built the fan base and the interest in the show, because they were like, these are regular, everyday people that go to work just like me that are doing something ridiculously stupid. They're bringing people over here that they don't even know. They're risking it all. They're not signing prenups. Like, that's why we wanted the show. And it's like they're shying away from that real aspect of relatability of a normal person. If I wanted to watch a bunch of influencers, I would go on TikTok. Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. And that's why every single cast member has like their grift or their product they're selling or their whatever. That's basically what it comes down to these days.
Yeah. If Sharp is listening, whoever your casting director is, no hard feelings, but terminate them and rehire, because they are no longer qualified or producing anything that anybody wants to engage with anymore. They might just need to work for a different show. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're not good at their job, but they're not good for 90 Day Fiancé.
True. All right. Who do you want to talk about first or next? Or do you want to talk about the pilot guy and his interesting neighbors, or do you want to talk about Maddie and Stevie?
No. I mean, nothing really happened with them. Yeah. There's some conflict there because she said to him tonight, like, I didn't tell my dad anything about you, but they had a whole conversation about him when she went to go get her oil changed. So I'm really confused of what any of that means, because she's like, well, I didn't tell him that you exist. And I was like, but y'all had a whole conversation on camera like a week or two ago about him. And because he's like, is he going to make you wear a jahe? You know, like, y'all had a conversation. So I was trying to understand what she was trying to say about that. And then he said something along the lines of, well, you know, you should have told him you had a year to tell him. Now I have one chance to tell him. And I'm like, tell him what specifically, right? Because I was like, what do you mean? Like, either he knows you exist and you have a secret, or he doesn't know you exist and that is a secret. I wasn't really following along with what they were trying to say, because I was like, she can't be pregnant, because she said the last time she saw him was 8 months ago. So it's not that she's pregnant. So I was like, what exactly does she want to tell him? Are they already married? You know, I was like, I'm trying to understand and follow along, because I wasn't getting it.
Yeah, I mean, you make valid points, and you make me, like, I didn't think about it as deeply as you did, to where you bring up, you make good points that I wasn't really thinking about that deep, but yeah, you're 100% right. It kind of seems like cooked up. It's kind of like a preamble to cook up the drama, but I think at the end of the day, I think they'll meet, and then I don't think it'll be as, like, he'll ask his, like, ignorant questions, but I don't think he's going to be, like, a dick to him.
I think you're right. I don't either. I don't think that he's going to be as I think everybody thinks he's going to say some pretty racist stuff, right? That's the expectation. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the way. I think he's going to grill him, but like any father would grill the guy that their daughter's trying to marry. I don't think he's going to, you know, call him anything like in the T word. I think people think he's going to use that word. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So I think it's like, yeah, I think they'll meet, and yeah, he'll ask his dumb questions, but I don't think it'll be a thing where he's going to be like vicious towards Maddie.
No, I think that they're building up for a letdown. I don't think there's going to be anything worth talking about. And also, he's like, his little Disneyland act where he, you know, you take a kid to Disneyland and they are just in permanent shock every time they walk. Like, mm-hmm. It's getting old now because he's like, yeah, this is so different. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting bored now. Do something else.
And then it's like, yeah, and then he seems very uptight. Or he's like, oh my God, there's a cat. I got to wash my hands now.
Yeah, the animal hating tonight. So there was a lot of animal hating tonight. So Joan doesn't like dogs and Madi doesn't like cats. And I guess Aaliyah doesn't care for dogs but likes turtles. So there's a lot of animal hate tonight. So a lot of people, mm-hmm. the animal lovers were coming out and they were like, well, let me just say, because I tweeted out earlier, I was like, it's funny all of y'all don't like animals because we barely like y'all. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let the animals, leave them alone, because at this point, I don't even like most of you. So, like, chill with the hate on the animals, because we all love animals around here.
True. All right, let's talk about Mark, the pilot, and his cool neighbors, which is, I guess he has one neighbor who's like a cupcake specialist, and then the other neighbor who walks around with a martini all the time.
Yeah, I like the neighbors. Leah, mm-hmm. I liked it, and I thought that it was a fun, interesting little scene. I was looking for some other Black people, because he seems to like, he seems to like Black girls, but I didn't see any other Black people in the neighborhood, but that doesn't surprise me, right? That doesn't mm-hmm. surprise me. I was just like, oh, so his fetish is Black girls. He's not actually like hanging out with any Black girls. So mm-hmm. I totally get that. But I mean, I think at this point, she's trying to make the best of her trapped situation. I think she trapped an old white man and she mm-hmm. was expecting more. And it's like, well, you knew he was like a 54-year-old pilot who appears to be 74. What did you think he was going to do? Like, did you think he was going to go out every night? Did you think he was going to live in the Hollywood Hills? Like, what was your expectation? I was like, you already hit the jackpot. You got his kid. You're trying to get a second one. I was like, you want to be happy too? You know, like, I don't understand. Like, what do you want out of this situation?
Yeah. I don't know. Then that was interesting though too, when she got in the argument with I don't know if it was in the preview, but she got in the argument with his grown-up daughter, where she was like, you're a snake, you better not come to my wedding.
Well, yeah, so the 27-year-old daughter Jordan, okay, and supposedly, allegedly, Mina is 34. I would need to see a birth certificate, I'm just saying, but they're close in age. And I think the daughter, because I don't know if everyone's fully aware, but the daughter, Jordan, and his son, they're the only three employees of this company that he owns. So I think the daughter is taking full, you know, interest in what's going on, because they helped build this business with their dad. Like, he's made a pretty good name for himself. He's trusted. He flies very important people. He has security clearance. So I think that she's taking, like, a personal interest in it, because let's be real, if they don't sign a prenup, the business where she works, Mina could end up being Jordan's boss, mm-hmm. right? Like, if something was to happen to her dad or whatever, she could have stake in a company that she had no interest in before, if her dad isn't smart enough to put it in the prenup and make sure that doesn't happen. So I think that the daughter is smart enough to see right through, you know, her gold digging schmick. But I think, you know, the dad, he's just like, oh, well, I just want to be with a hot Black chick. You know, so he's like, I don't care if it costs me a bunch of money or if she gets everything after I'm gone, I'll be gone. I don't care. And I think the daughter is trying to protect her inheritance and what she's built. So I think that is going to be a fun little thing to play out, because I remember when Jasmine tried to uninvite Gino's family to the wedding. If you uninvite someone to the wedding, that's usually almost a guaranteed way that they're going to show up and ruin your wedding. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get either some wild, crazy screaming matches at a reception or whatever. So I'm excited to see them go at it, because I can tell right away that Mina's a gold digger, and I know that Jordan can see right through it. So it's like, I just want to see them go at it at this point.
Yeah, by the way, like, so as far as Mark's business, is it a situation where, like, anyone that has the money can just hire him as a private pilot for a private plane?
Yes. So the way the business works is he has a plane or two, and you can hire him to fly you, or he's also a pilot for hire, where mm-hmm. if you have a plane, you can't hire him as a pilot to fly you. And that's how he flew a lot of these
presidents.
Yeah, so he's not flying them on his little drone Tesla thing or Cessna, whatever you call those little drones that people be flying. He's flying them on their planes, but you know, a lot of these people will own a plane but don't have a regular pilot, so he's like the pilot for hire. And I think that's kind of where you make the most money, is when people hire you for trips.
So he probably has like a clearance, right?
Well, yeah, in order to fly a president, a congressperson, anyone in the FBI, CIA, you have to have a security clearance with the government, because you might, you would know.
Well, yeah, well, you don't want the pilot to have like, you know, like connections with, you know, other nations or
right. Or all sorts and of shit. He might also know special locations that are top secret, that are not released, because you're flying these people to locations, and sometimes, you know, if it has to do with the government, these locations aren't known to the general public. So he has to have clearance in order to be involved, because even if he overheard a conversation in the plane, that's still confidential. So he has to have clearance to do that.
No, that's very valid points. I had a funny tweet about Greg. It's on my Twitter and Instagram. I said, Greg's not part of Doge. He's part of Dodge, the way he's dodging work.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that. That's... Excelente. He is dodging work like a quarterback on Super Bowl Sunday, right? Like he is literally a linebacker. If a job is coming at him, he's freaking linebacker. And I mean, I get it. Nobody wants to work. I fully understand that. That's why everybody wants to win the lottery. But when he said, I didn't want the job because I wouldn't be happy. And I was thinking, so
well, and then he used the Geno line, like, I want to spend more time with you. That's why I didn't take it.
Well, yeah, that's a valid reason, but also you have to work, right? Like, I don't understand, because there's some women who are like, oh, I would rather a man that spends time with me than works all the time. But then that same woman gets pissed off and that man doesn't buy her a gift on their anniversary. So it's like you can't have the best of both worlds. And it's like, yeah, you want to spend as much time with someone as possible, but somebody has to go out and work. You know, because time is free, but rent is not. So it's like somebody has to go out and do something. And I think that he's under the mindset, because he said to her in the grocery store, because she was like, how are we going to live? And he's like, oh, I would do anything to make sure that you have food to eat or you were okay. And I was like, anything except get a job, right? Like literally anything except get a job. That's literally the one thing that you could do to guarantee that. And you told her you're not doing that. So yeah. Like...
But I was just thrilled that they actually, it was nice to see actual real, like a real supermarket on the show, because that was the whole argument we had with Mark about Mark, where they didn't take her, Mina, to a real supermarket. So it was nice, it was pleasant to see a real supermarket on the show.
Yeah, I did. And I actually tweeted out tonight, I was like, so do they want to explain to me where Mark purchased those burgers that he grilled? Because in their world, there's no Walmarts that have been created in New Hampshire. So I put that out there too, because I was like, oh, so did he buy these corner store burgers, or are we going to like let it in that there's actually a Walmart in the area? Right? Because I was like, where did he get this food from? So yeah, it's nice to see a real supermarket with real fresh food and real fresh fruits and veggies and stuff. And yeah, it was nice to see a realistic depiction of real life. Like, I don't know why they want to give us these weird fake depictions of real life.
Yeah, and then any notes or anything you want to say about the Megan and Juan, not Megan, Jessica and Juan?
Themes. So we got Juan's, what do you want to call it, confession, I guess, tonight, that he did cheat with the girl on the cruise ship, which a lot of people always said he did, and he always denied it. And I'm pretty sure, like, my take on this is I'm almost positive Jessica was fully aware that he cheated. And yeah. I think she was probably more comfortable leaving it as though he didn't on TV, so people don't look at her as the girl that married her cheating husband or boyfriend or whatever. But I think the producers probably were like, well, we need to push this cheating storyline, you know, because this is going to be what their storyline is around. It's between he's moving to Wyoming, you know, from Paradise, and he's also a cheater. Because I was like, this cheating happened, I'm pretty sure, before she got pregnant. So I'm pretty sure that he cheated on her, she forgave him, and then he knocked her up. So I feel like it's completely irrelevant now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like so, it's kind of so cliche in the sense of it always happens this way on the show, is they have like the best friend or the girlfriend, which in this case is Megan with an I. They have her come and be like the bad guy to like interrogate the boyfriend to make him confess. But it's just like such a forced conversation, because how many times have we seen that on the show where like the best friend or the girlfriend is the one that's like being the ball buster of the guy?
Well, yeah. I'm over it. I think I knew it was forced when she started talking to him. She sat next to him and there was like a 4-second pause. Mm-hmm. When she's like, hey, how are you? Da, 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 and you know, and then there's a pause.
You
like,
know, oh, I gotta ask you this question because the producer has a gun to my head.
Exactly. I could actually see in my mind the producer on the other side of the camera, like, ask him about the girl. Ask mm-hmm. him. Like, I could actually see the coaching in that moment because there was like a long pause and she's looking at the ceiling. And I was like, oh, I can actually see the production process right now. I see this wasn't an organic conversation.
Okay, I have a good question in terms of like the production side, and so like, and it's not, it could be more like generally speaking, so it's not specific to whatever, but like, so you tell me, so if they're filming, whether it's that scene in the dive bar or if they're filming like a scene on Last Resort at the bar, so when they're filming those, if you're part of the production and they're filming for hours in the bar and shit, and after they have a ton of footage, at some point, let's say the bar is about to close in the next like 30 minutes. Like at some point, do they say, all right, we're done filming for the night? And then at that point, the production could actually like enjoy themselves? Or does that ever happen? Or is it just all business as on the production side? I mean,
they don't typically intermingle with you. So like, for instance, if mm-hmm. one and Jessica and everybody stayed in the bar mm-hmm. after filming, they would pack up and leave mm-hmm. or they would go eat somewhere else. They don't typically like hang out with you.
I mean, is that like a company policy? Like,
they don't yeah, because it's kind of like fraternization situation mm-hmm. or if one of the production crew hooks up with one of the cast, then you've got like a whole situation. So okay. like if they were done filming and the cast didn't want to leave the bar, the production would probably pack up and leave. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't mm-hmm. really like stay and hang out with you. Just like when they film the pillow talks, mm-hmm. they say they finish 2 hours early and the production that might not have a flight right away, they're still going to pack up and leave your house. They're not going to just like sit on the couch and talk. It's kind of, I mean, I like to believe the production and the cast feel comfortable with each other, but it's not like they're friends.
Yeah. I guess they don't want it to get into murky waters when they're, because you know, if you're too close or too friendly, like that's when weird things can happen, I guess.
Yeah, you don't ever want to hear of someone going on their Instagram live and saying, I was filming for this show and one of the production or cameramen slept with my husband or slept with my mm-hmm. wife. Or like, mm-hmm. that's like the worst nightmare. You don't ever want the integrity of the process, production process, to be questioned. So yeah, they'll pack up and leave. If mm-hmm. they finish early or whatever, they won't stay. Or if they're in like a really big, like say for instance, they're filming in a mall, they'll leave wherever you're at and they'll go do their own thing.
Okay. No, that's good. That's interesting to know.
Yeah. But this Juan and Jessica thing, it, a lot of people online are like, oh my God, I can't believe he cheated. Guys, you have to remember this happened like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they've had a baby and gotten pregnant since then. Or I said that wrong. They got married, got pregnant, had a baby since then. So this is literally old news. No one cares about it. Except, and people are like, why does Megan care? I was like, well, she doesn't. Production told her to care. She doesn't care either. Like, no one cares. When you do this show, you have to have something like a secret or a confession or something you're hiding. That's part of every storyline. So mm-hmm. when these things happen, people are like, oh my God, I look at this person differently. You can't really look at it that way because Jessica and Juan are happy. And if he did cheat on her, she knew about it and forgave him and could care less. But in order for you to get casted on a new season, you have to have something that you did or something that they did that they have to confess or come clean about in order for you to be on the show. That's part of the casting process.
Mm-hmm. And then what did you think of the Josh and Rob hanging out with the Amina and Matt?
Oh, and Matt. Okay, so I know they were out in San Diego because Kim's birthday is next week. So there is a big party. The Bad Boys and Kim and some of her friends and some football players, they were all at a party in San Diego. And I knew that was going to happen. I also knew that the Bad Boys were going to a club afterward, and Kim was supposed to go but didn't go. And I think a lot of people speculated that, oh, this was all planned or whatever. I actually found out that Amani and Matt thought that Kim was going to be at the after party, and she didn't go. And I heard that they were disappointed that she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts on that are, I think that they are looking to hang out with other cast members, take pictures with other cast members, and build themselves, you know, in their stance. I think that they're definitely on the show to get as much attention as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the 90 Day Bad Boys, I'm just be real, you know, they're all about attention. It's mm-hmm. very natural to see them hanging out with the cast members, like, because that's kind of what they do. They make their videos with other cast members. They link themselves with other cast members. So it was very natural for me to see that. It's just, I don't know if Matt and Amani are trying to make friends with cast members or if they're just trying to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm leaning more towards the relevant thing, but I don't know. I think all of them, though, the Bad Boys, they all are all fighting for attention. Like, it's like,
yeah,
they're all in a ring and everyone's trying to beat up the other person for attention. So I kind of feel like that's what's going on.
Yeah, the 90 Day community is like, what's the word? I don't know. It's like the black hole of attention. Like, there's never enough.
Yeah, it's never enough. Everybody wants more attention than the other person. And the crazier you do or post about things, like Scott and everybody is, there's no level of low that they won't stoop to get your attention.
Yeah, or if you're like, what's her face and what's his face? And then you post like two Instagram stories and you're both at the same place and everyone, it's so obvious y'all are together. And then all the accounts post about it.
Yeah, and that couldn't have been any more staged. Also, did you see that Kyle Gordy, Lauren and Scott were all live together? Did you see that?
I got a DM about it.
Yeah, I got a DM about it too. So yeah, it's like now cast members are kind of linking together to to kind of, you know how back in the day there were the Power Rangers, and if you get all the like rings or whatever or all the things together, you could become the Megazord. It's like the cast members are now joining forces to become like the Transformer Megatron. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're like, well, let's just all
like link the together. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers thing.
Yes, they're like all linking together to become like the big Megazord or whatever they call it. And it's like, it's kind of interesting though, because they don't feel like they have enough clout on their own. So they're like, well, if we all go to do the same thing at the same time, we'll get enough attention that people will notice. And it's like, it's kind of getting a little.
I'm kind of over it, because like people will. Like I said, with the thing with Lauren and Eska and the Sperminator, they're on a live together. So then one of my friends online said they screen recorded some of it. And they're like, hey, do you want me to send it to you? You could hear what like Scott had to say about bloggers and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of over it. I don't really care what he has to say.
Wait, did he say something specifically about you?
No, I think he was speaking in general.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't think he wants to be starting. He don't want to be starting something with you, right? Like, I feel like that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, but so I think he's just speaking in general. But I didn't even give a fuck. I was like, I don't want to hear his latest rants. I don't care.
Well, when you're always online and always crying wolf and always saying something, or there's always an issue with you. It's what they say about the crying wolf. When you always are the victim and need help, when you actually need help, no one's going to listen. You know, that's kind of how it is. He's always begging and thirsting for the attention. So at this point, we're like, I'm sick of giving it to you. You know, like, I don't want to hear it now. If I don't listen to what you're saying tomorrow or today, in 2 days, it'll be something else. You know, and it's just getting old. And it's like, you don't want to keep following along manufactured drama. Drama is fun to follow along when it's legit, not when people are making stuff up to get your attention.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm like, yeah, there's those certain bloggers that literally will post any and every activity that happens in the 90 Day community where they have like no filtering. They're just like, oh, something happened. Oh, Scott made a video with so-and-so and he has a fake tattoo on his chest. So that's a post. And then, so literally those accounts were like, they post anything that happens in the world.
Yeah.
Like, neurotically.
I didn't even react to the tattoo. I had a lot of messages. They're like, is that real? And I was like, You're not really asking if the tattoo is real. Nothing that he does is real.
Yeah, I got that DM as well.
Everything is a shtick with him, right? Everything is this. It's all an act.
Yeah,
he's trying to get your literally, he could show up to your house with a knife in his head, and you can't believe it because it's all fake. Literally everything that he does is fake, and it's like when you get that reputation, that should remind you how ridiculous you are. That literally no one believes anything that you say because that's how ridiculous you are. Because that's how I am with him. It's like I don't believe anything he says. It's mm-hmm. all a joke. It's all an act. It's all attention seeking, and it's getting old. And you know, if you can't organically get attention, you know, just by mm-hmm. doing what you're doing, you know, reevaluate your actions. You know, because there are some people who stay in the news and they don't have to make up anything fake. They're just doing stupid stuff, you know, like, but you figure out a way to be relevant without having to make it up.
True. Yeah. Let me just see some real quick. Oh, yeah. So did you like that coffee mug post I did this morning where it says, I don't give jack shit about Sophie.
Yeah, I got a lot of messages and stuff about the Sophie Pedro situation, and I reposted that because I was like, you know what? I could care less what she's doing. And they're like, are you surprised that she's with Pedro? And I was like, well, isn't that what a escort would do? She would go hang out with the guy. Guys, this is alleged. This isn't, I'm just saying, this is how I feel about her. I'm not saying she does that. But isn't that what she would do? She would just go hang out with whoever's paying, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what she would do. So no, I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me. Her and her mom are grifters. Mm-hmm. And when you're a grifter, you go to wherever the grifting is good. And if the grifting was good in Pedro's passenger seat, that's where she ended up. Right? Like, I don't even know any other way to explain it. She's literally, wherever there's a grifting situation, Sophie will be the first one there.
Mm-hmm. You want me to read comments?
Yeah, let's read some comments. I want to know what everyone thought of this episode tonight, and if there's anything we forgot to talk about. Wait, did I say it right? Gossip Girl, did I say it right this time?
I think it's a shtick.
Shtick. Oh, okay, whatever. Shtick. Yeah. Why do I say it like I'm from the country? I don't know.
It sounds like it's, you know, you sound like Maddie saying flannel.
Yeah, flannel. What's flannel?
Yeah. Let's see. All right, here's some comments. And by the way, I see one of my online friends, Selena's in here. If you want to talk, let me know. All right, let me see. Sherry, she says, I'm going to say goodnight, everyone. I'm not feeling good. Got the flu. Get feeling sleepy. Thanks for hopping on, Sherry. Feel better. This will be on Apple, Spotify tomorrow. Gossip Girl says shtick. Gossip Girl says S. Scott getting into it with Shibuti is like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not gonna end well if that's the direction he wants to go. It's like he's actually asking to get his ass kicked. But okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like the biggest punishment for as Scott is when he starts complaining about bloggers is just to like, I'll just like archive some of my most recent Scott posts because I'm like, that's the best way to hurt you.
I mean, he complains about them, but those are the only people that keep him relevant if we're going to be realistic. Like, you can't complain, don't bite the hand that feeds you. The only people that keep your name relevant are the bloggers because no one else does. So you can't be mad at the people who are actually keeping you afloat.
True. Let's see. Jenny says, Amani was live yesterday and I was in the car, so I joined it and Kyle Gordy joined and pretty much hijacked their live. It was ridiculous.
Wait, I missed that. So Amani was live and Kyle Gordy joined. Huh, nobody sent me that. Interesting.
I saw she was live, but I never joined it. But I don't know why she would let Kyle Gordy speak, because I wouldn't let him speak if I was her.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. I mean, I kind of feel like Amani and Matt are anybody from the show they're open to being friends with. Because I'm not going to say how I got this information, but I heard that before the season aired, they were messaging basically anyone who had ever been on 90 Day Fiancé before and saying hey, we're going to be on the show and we think you're great, or I love you, we should be friends, please let's hang out.
Oh, by the way, you know what that reminds me of? You know what's weird? Is because, like, as far as Matt, I've never messaged him. I've never tagged him. I've never really interacted with him. And then, so I think in along the same lines of what you just said, so then I got a DM from him, but I feel like it was a mass DM because the DM says, quote, thanks for the like and all your support. Follow for more. If you have any questions about the new season, let me know. But that was the DM thing, but I've never liked his posts. I've never mentioned him. So I think it's a mass message to anyone and anyone.
Hold on, because I got a DM from him too.
Did it say it probably said the same thing?
It sounds along the lines of what you just read. So let me check real quick.
Yeah, his okay. If you need his handle, let me know. But
okay, my DM, no, they're different. So this was on February 15th, 9:55 in the morning. It says, thanks for the like. You have amazing content. Look forward to interacting more.
Okay. Well, mine was similar because mine says, thanks for the like. And by the way, I never liked his posts. And then it says, and all your support, follow for more. And then if you have any questions about the new season, let me know. So it's in the same vein.
Yeah. Was it on February 15th?
No, this was whatever day last Thursday was.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this wasn't the same day. But, yeah, it was around the same. And I don't know if I liked a picture of his. I might have liked a picture that he was.
If it was like a, you know, when it's when multiple people are tagged on a post, a collaboration post.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Amani posted and he was. Yep, I did. So him and Amani posted a photo and I liked it. And I think that's where the DM
came
from. So I don't follow him or anything.
Yeah, I don't follow him. And like, yeah, so I may have liked a collaboration post, but I didn't mean to like his post. I was trying to like maybe Amani's post. And then, so I guess if you like his post inadvertently, he sends everyone that DM. So yeah, like he's basically, he's a networker. That's how he met Liz and how he's DMing us and stuff.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I heard that he was DMing literally anyone who was ever on 90 Day Fiancé and trying to befriend them. So I think that, you know, there's a word for that. And call it what you want to call it. I just think that they're on the show. Like I said, they're the poison that's going to destroy this really good franchise. People like them who come into the franchise for one reason and one reason only. It started with Jabri and Miona, and it's continued with Matt and Amani and Sophie and Rob. They come into the franchise for one reason and one reason only, and to become famous. And they're poisoning the authenticity of the franchise. They're making it, they're cheapening what this show stands for, and they're ruining it. I hate them. I hate you for that. I'm just going to say it. I hate y'all for that because I watched the show because it was authentic, and you're out here making it non-authentic. So I hate y'all.
Yeah, no, we want regular people, like, even the pilot guy, at least he's not, like, obsessed with social media and shit.
Right. You know? We want regular people doing strange stuff. That was the formula that made 90 Day Fiancé so huge. It wasn't a bunch of Sarper, Shekinah people. No one wants to see that. I mean, there is a market for that. It's on TikTok and it's on Vanderpump. We don't want that. We want to watch real people doing stuff. And I think, you know, until the producers and the casting people understand that, I think they're just they're completely on the wrong track. I don't know who they're listening to. Because I was thinking about that tonight where we're watching like Sarper and Shekinah and we're watching Tyga Lily and Edna. I was like, they know we dislike these people and they continue to recast them. So I was like, who do they think that they're making the show for? Because the people that watch the show, us, hate these people. So you would think that you would stop casting people that you know that people don't want to watch, but they continue to do it.
Yeah, I think they just literally look at like social media numbers, and then that's the only thing they really care about. Well, that's how you have tons of social media influencers if you're only casting based on people that have social media numbers.
Well, right, exactly. Like if there's 100,000 tweets, but 70,000 of them are negative, you know, it's, I know no news is negative when it comes to, what do you call it, advertising and promotion, But if we all are fast forwarding through certain people because we don't like them, then you're basically wasting prime real estate. You know, you could have other things on the show that people want to watch. You're wasting away the show. And I think eventually, if they keep casting all these people that we hate, eventually people are going to stop watching the show. So they got to be really careful.
True. Yeah, we can only carry the torch so much.
I mean, you got to give us something to work with. They're giving us nothing to work with, and they don't listen. It's like they do the opposite of what we say, right? Like, it's like I don't understand who they're making the show for. Because obviously there's some producer or somebody high up at Sharp that loves Tiger Lily, that loves Shekinah, they love everybody that we hate, which is fine. But it's like you got to make the people watching the show happy, not the people that you want to put on the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me just go through the comments. Let's see. Gossip Girl says, just like Julia and Brandon's lame storylines. Jenny says, if that's true about production, then why do so many people in reality TV say they become family with their producers and film crew? I've heard that from so many shows. Just curious.
Oh, because when you watch the show, they film like a 3-minute segment. They were filming for 15 hours for 2 weeks straight a day. So yeah, you do build a really good rapport with these people. So imagine you're spending 15 to 20 hours a day with somebody at work for like months. You are going to feel like that person is more than just a coworker. You are going to feel like they're family. True. Because you're letting them in your house. Because think about it, these people are filming in their house. They're riding in the car with you. They're sitting in the backseat holding the camera in the car. Yeah, you are going to feel like these are family because you wouldn't just let a complete stranger in your house. So yeah, they do feel that way, but there are strict fraternization rules. You know, like you can't go out and eat with them. You can't go out to dinner. You can't go to their hotel. If they're in town and you're not filming, you're not supposed to hang out with them because you're not filming. So there are strict rules.
Yeah. Let's see. Mina says, it's sad that we, the fans, can spot the forced moments. It gets old and boring. Plus, it doesn't feel natural at all. Gossip Girl says, Jessica knew he cheated. Ain't no way she's that stupid. Oh, and then let me give a shout out to Jessica, which is the Wyoming chick. Because, you know, when I posted that like meme of like, what's more annoying, Amanda with two M's or Megan with the I? So like even before I had a chance to like post it on Instagram, she saw my tweet and then she posted my tweet on Instagram even before I had a chance to post it on Instagram. So I'll give her credit for like being on top of my shit. So I appreciate it.
Oh, well, yeah, she has a good, sense of humor. I like her. She's not one of those butthurt people where she's mad and crying after everything. Like, I think she understood the assignment. She was like, I'm on TV. People are going to say things. They're going to have an opinion. And I think she takes it with, you know, a grain of salt and stride, and she's cool about it. So I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm. Jenny says, Pineapple Jenny, by the way, not Toronto Jenny. Oh, she says, and Imani said she hates Netflix and doing the show with them was awful, but Sharp was amazing. So I agree, they're just clout chasing. Oh, she's just kissing the current hand that's feeding her.
Oh, well, yeah, you're going to tell your current job that you particularly like that job more than the last job that fired you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And also, I heard that they left that last show, that Netflix show, prematurely. Like, they weren't done, and they left it. So, and I don't know what the deal, like, the full story is with that, but that might have something to do with that, too.
True. Jenny says she had, like, 5 people watching the live. She said she didn't remember him at first, meaning like she didn't remember Kyle Gordy. Jenny says, and how does he not have a budget for groceries if he does? Or how does he not have a budget for groceries if he doesn't work? And I mean, this is about Greg. I only watched a few minutes and saw that and said to myself, the fuck? I guess the better question is just simply, how does he afford the groceries if he doesn't work?
Yeah, that question, I felt the same way, because she was like, how do you have a budget for food? And like, how do you have a budget for anything? And he literally said, oh, I don't have a budget. I just buy whatever food I want or whatever. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions in there for me, too. Because I'm like, so how are you getting money? Where's the money coming from? And it seems like the only thing that he's interested in purchasing is edible stuff. As long as you can eat it, that's a priority. But if you, like, you can't eat an apartment, so that's not a priority. You can't eat a job, so that's not a priority. Mm-hmm. It seems like as long as it's edible, that's the only way to get his attention.
Yeah, I think he needs a life-size gingerbread house. Just kidding.
I mean, I don't know. It's really weird. He doesn't seem to be worried about money at all. And a lot of people are saying that the only way that Joan is here is his mom would have had to sponsor, because he doesn't even, because delivering bread a couple times a week under the table, the immigration department will not count that as income. So obviously his mom also, who I don't know if she works or not. She has to, though, if they, somebody sponsored this girl, right? So somebody somewhere is working. We just don't know who it is.
Yeah, it's probably the mom, but that's why she felt the authority to boss her around.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's her, and she's the sponsor, like you said, and she's like, well, if you're here because of me, I get to be mean to you, and I get to tell you what to do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you to not use the hot water and shit.
Right, and it's like, okay. I mean... True.
All right, let me plow through these comments. Let's see. Gossip Girl says, wow, Sean was really hot, which is the Burger King guy.
A lot of people said that tonight. I saw those tweets. A lot of people did. So I want to ask you a question real quick. When you looked at Sean's photos from when he was younger with his first wife, and he was in, they met in beauty school or whatever school they were in. My first question was, so she didn't question like his sexuality, because he kind of looked a little, you know, in those pictures. So I was like, how did they stay together for 14 years? And then because he said, and then immediately after they got divorced, he started identifying as gay. So I was like, so did she know he was gay while they were married? Like, I had a bunch of questions from that, and I didn't get any. He didn't give us anything.
That's a good question.
Because how are you married for 14 years to a woman, have three kids with her, live as a straight man, and then the second you get divorced, you now identify as gay? Like, you had to have been identifying as gay before that.
Yeah, I think, right? Well, I think, okay, I think I can try to answer it. I think it's just one of those things, like, well, first of all, he's like way older, so he's like the older generation. So back his generation, I guess he probably felt he had to stay closeted because it wasn't like a safe time for gay men. So I think it's like, his generation, he just had to like pretend like he's straight, and he just did whatever the straight people, a guy would do. So that's the reason I think you gotta keep it quiet to be safe.
I get that, but do you think his wife knew? That's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm. Do you think that she had an idea?
I feel like maybe not initially, but I feel like definitely by the latter half of the marriage, yeah.
Yeah, that was my thought too, because I was like, how are you a whole gay man in a relationship with a woman, married to her, had three kids with her, and then right afterward you just start dating men? Like, she had to have figured it out at some point. But it seems like she didn't divorce him right away, because it seemed like all of their kids were basically grown by the time she
decided. I mean, it's hard to divorce your interior decorator and your hairdresser.
I mean, you know what? It is true, because I've heard women say that they pay almost $800 sometimes to get their hair done. So imagine if you're married to somebody who does it and doesn't charge you.
Exactly. I'm sure he's like neat and clean and shit like that.
Yeah, he probably out with men at night, but my hair is on point, right? Like, she probably was like, I'll let it slide. And he also was making pretty good money at the same time. So she might have figured it out and didn't immediately move, right? She was just like, I don't like that, but I also like living in the Hollywood Hills, so we're going to work on that later, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he seems like he has a cool house, too, because didn't he say, like, Charlie Chaplin might have built it?
Yeah, he's in, like, the historic part of West Hollywood. This man is loaded, right? Yeah. Like, he's loaded. He owned a dress that was worn by Barbara Streisand, I think he said. She's, like, the queen of the gays. Like, she's the queen. Yeah. So he's got money. So I think Aaliyah knows exactly what she's doing. She bagged her the right one.
Yeah, he has the old queen money.
Yeah, like he's not faking his rich lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is no Airbnb situation. This man has actual money.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Gossip Girl says, Greg, fuck that, he better work. Sherry says, that was an awesome tweet, Shabooty. Gossip Girl says, Greg's mother's acting like she's interviewing the help. Yeah, do you think Greg's mom was acting a little like, I don't know. Well, not, she was obviously being rude, but did it seem like she was interviewing the help?
I mean, I found it to be a little racist when she told him that she's like, you should start cleaning up after him and you should be. And I was like, how is she? He's been living with you for 37 years and he don't gotta do nothing. She's been here for 5 seconds and now you're giving her duties. I did feel like that a little bit because I was like, it could just be completely coincidental that she's black. But I was like, it's just weird that he don't gotta do nothing. Like, he don't have to cook, clean, do the laundry, mow the grass, nothing. She's been here for 5 seconds and now she's got to start carrying her weight. It did come across as a little bit racist to me. I was like, I don't know. It could just be she's an evil lady or whatever, but I didn't like the way it looked.
Okay, and then here's Mina. She says, not Mina on the show, but in our chat, it's she says, I miss the old days before the fake people, fake doll animation looking people. TLC has a script and it seeks people to fit the story. It is super sad. And then she says, I agree with George. Also, there is the parent that has an adult child with disabilities who are unable to work or communicate will never get married. Lucille has damaged Greg. He will fail as an adult when she dies.
Yeah, I agree. And I also feel like he's waiting around to get that house because he's like, oh, it's too expensive to get my own place. We'll get my own place at some point. I think he's actually just waiting around for her to die so he'll get the house. That's just my thought. Because I was like, if you're working towards moving out, you would get a job. I was like, I think you're just waiting for her to expire. That's just what I was thinking.
All right, let's see some newer comments that poured in. Let's see. Christy says, oh, the Christy said, this is, I think this is about Sean. They call that the beard, quote unquote. They did it for the kids. So the wife was his beard.
Oh, because you know what? Kenny from Kenny and Armando said that too. Remember? He got married and he had his kids, but he said that he always knew he was gay. So I didn't know it had a term. So they call it the beard. And
The beard is the one for the optics of you being straight, but
oh, so
you know what I
this
mean?
I guess, and you know what? Kenny is around that age group too. So I'm this is something that men were having to do. Because it wasn't safe or accepted widely for them to just be themselves. So there's a lot of men that I especially because this it caught my attention because I was like, I wonder if the men were suspicious. Because I bet you Kenny's wife was probably suspicious too at some point, right? You know, because at some point you're gonna figure it out. You know, you spend a lot of time with somebody, you have kids with somebody, you're gonna know, you know, huh, that's weird. So I bet you that's what's going on with that.
You're gonna be like, why does he always like anal sex the most?
Right, like there's gonna be signs, and I guess my big question I would love to ask a woman who was in that situation, like when did it click? You know, like I know, like when did you like have the realization, like oh, this is what's going on? Because I know at some point Sean's wife figured it out. Obviously, she divorced him, but like how long did it take?
And if you and it don't, if you're curious how I know about some of the stuff, it's like, so George Takei, who's Sulu from Star Trek, he was like a regular on the Howard Stern show and he was closeted, so I feel like that's where I know some of my intel.
Oh, yeah, he's also in that bracket too. So did he also do the beard situation with his with a wife?
I'm trying to remember. I know he's like he, I don't know if he was married, but he definitely was sleeping with women like at a as a younger when he was like, you know, in his 20s, he was like fucking chicks. Yeah, he's banging chicks.
Yes.
But only because that was what was
Well, right.
that's how you stay closeted.
That yeah, you have to have some if you're not because you know, even if you were just single, they people will still speculate. If they don't see you with a woman, then they would speculate. So men back then, they did. They had to link themselves to women, you know, just so people wouldn't make that speculation. Because it's crazy how people just watch you. Because when you're a celebrity, people just watch everything you do. And if they never see you with a woman on your arm, they're gonna start speculating stuff.
All right, let's see. Well, Gossip Girl says, listen, honey, he was buying Barbara Streisand dresses. That's a telltale sign.
Right. Well, I don't know if he did that.
That could have been after
Yeah,
though.
I don't know
Yeah,
if
that
he
was
did
probably
that
after.
after or before, but yeah, I'm pretty sure the wife, there were signs, and I would love to hear her like tell us when they started becoming clearer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jenny liked my life-size gingerbread house joke. Jenny says, I'm assuming he's using his mom's credit card as far as Greg.
Oh, and so do you think that the mom is letting him just shop freely with her money?
That's a... And then the question is how does the mom have money?
So yeah, there I have a lot of questions in it because no one is really working. We don't know. The mom didn't say she wasn't. But ever since the show premiered, she's always been in the house with them. So it doesn't show that she's working. So I'm just curious, where did the money come from? Who's supplying the money? Who's taking care of all these people? Because she does live in Long Island in a pretty decent home. You know, so it's like, I'm really wondering who's funding all of this.
All right, let me just see if there's any other new comments. Otherwise, we may be at the end of comments. Jenny says, I thought Kenny had his kids via surrogate.
Wait, is that true? I thought he said that he had... Hold on. I want to Google it now. I could have swore he said that he was married before.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying, George, rings more true than the surrogate thing.
I'm going to Google. Wait, Kenny was never married and did not have an ex-wife. He had his children through IVF with a female friend who he pretended to be his wife. Oh, I had it wrong, guys.
That was the beard.
So he had a female friend who pretended to be his wife, and they had his children through an IVF situation. Okay, yeah. So technically, yes.
So Pineapple Jenny's right, or
she's right. He was never married to this woman, but the woman was a part of the ruse. She knew that he was gay and pretended to be his wife and did the IVF. Interesting.
And then Gina, the cyber sleuth, you know what I'm talking about, right, Gina?
Yeah.
She said, I found Greg's mom on Facebook and it looks like she's divorced.
Okay, so there was a dad. I mean, I knew that there was a but divorced, not widowed, so he's still around. So maybe he's the one funding everything. Maybe she's getting spousal support. Somebody got a job somewhere. We're gonna have to figure out who's paying for shit, because somebody got a job.
We that was all the comments. Did we talk enough about the Tijuana thing? I guess we did that on our Friday show, right? Or we talked about the donkeys and Tijuana and stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that. So not really much happened tonight with the Tijuana stripper and the thruple or whatever. Like, not really. There's not really much to cover so much tonight.
The one thing I'll on our next Friday show, I'll report back to y'all, because I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I also posted it. Like, if I post a tweet on Twitter, I don't really have to worry about blowback. But I did repost my, like, I pulled up the tweet that I said, so is Annie an escort or what? Allegedly, I'm just asking. Those Tijuana clubs are very sketch. So I posted that on Instagram, and then I'll report back to y'all next Friday if I get any, like, if I get any like DMs, people saying from them to see if they respond.
Oh yeah, I figure they will. The Annie chick follows me, but the Amani chick doesn't. Okay. So
they both follow me. So we'll see what happens.
I'm sure that they're going to comment on it. I feel like they just sit at home and scour the internet for anything that people say about them. I feel like that, because every time you've said anything mentioning them, I feel like they've interacted with it in some way.
Yeah.
I think that they're like those media fame people that have to be like in your comments on everything. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we did a pretty long show.
Yeah, that's weird. It's usually not this long on a Sunday, so it was interesting. Must have been a decent show.
Yeah, and let me give a shout out to some people that are listening live. I'll shout out to the people that are listening to us live. There's JAL, there's Gossip Girl, there's JoJo, Selena, there's Jenny Pineapple Girl, there's Gina, there's Lori, who always sends me stuff, there's 90 Day Flash, Christy, CC Kane, and Jordan. So those are the current live listeners. So thank y'all for supporting us
live. Yeah, I appreciate the live listeners. And y'all got to hear it first. So the people that are listening tomorrow, they're listening to what you already heard tonight.
Yeah. So I think that's I guess we should end it right at this point.
Yeah, we're gonna end it. Coco should be back on Friday. She was trying to get home in time for tonight, but I don't know what happened. So, but
yeah, and we all lost an hour of sleep, so we couldn't wait around.
Yeah, I'm like super tired, but it's because I'm usually knocked out right now. So,
yeah. All right. So yeah, we'll be back Friday, and thank you for listening to 90 Fancy Fridays on a
Sunday.
Peace.
Peace.